Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Growth Well podcast. My name is Josh Bird. I'm your host. This is the show where we explore the art of balancing professional growth and personal well-being. I am so thankful for my friends at MarketScale for continuing to make this happen. We are now into season two, and thank you for being here to all our listeners. We've got a great guest for you today. He is a girl dad with me. I think us girl dads have a special bond even when we don't know each other. This is a new friend of mine, another friend of mine introduced me to, but I can't wait for y'all to meet him as well. He, besides being a girl dad, he's a church planter, he's a former pro golfer, and he's a leader at Lockton and just a great all-around guy. So everybody give a warm welcome to Matt Brost.
Thank you. I can hear the cheering in the background. I'm just kidding.
It's funny that you say that. I picked this room for my regular listeners. You'll know that normally I'm in my home office and I have guitars behind me. And I picked this room because used to in this office building that I work out of, this had a huge mural of a crowd in the Braves Stadium. And that's what I wanted. And then I got in here and they had just painted it gray. And I was like, oh, womp womp. But you know, yeah. That's okay because we really need to focus on our conversation with you and not the Braves stadium in my background. So anyway, thank you so much, Matt, for being on today. And tell us a little bit about you for everyone getting to know you a bit.
I appreciate it, Josh. So I live here in the Dallas, Texas area. I actually live in a town called Highland Village. Like you said, girl dad, I've got 13 and 15 year old girls and a wife that, her name is Jess, and we've been married for 22 years, and had a good amount of time in Austin and now here, in the Dallas area. What I do kind of professionally is, I'm a vice president in the people solutions world for Lockton, and People Solutions is really, you know, helping companies with their strategy and brokering their employee benefits that they do for their employees. And so work with all different size of companies around the country and really helping them figure out, you know, what they want to do for their people when it comes down to it. And and have been in that industry for about a decade now. After I played golf, and I was actually in the golf business for a little bit after that. So it's a great industry to be in. There's always challenges that you're solving. Every day it's pretty easy to wake up.
Yeah. Well, that's so needed. And I know personally that navigating those things can be really challenging because you've got, the needs of a company, the needs of its people, cost is always a thing, you know, so it's kind of a juggling act to solve the problem, to take care of the people ultimately. But you've been doing this for 20 years. So, and you said it's a good way to get out of bed. So do you have a purpose or a mission that kind of aligns your life and your work that gets you out of bed?
Yeah. I mean, I am certainly, I'm a Christian. And I feel like everything I do kind of ripples up to that for sure. And that's what also helps me put my head on the pillow at night too. For me, I mean, you know, doing my job really well is serving my family well, I feel like. And so first and foremost is who I am for my family. And it feels like as, you know, just times get busier and busier that becomes more and more of a challenge. But, I think we're going to be able to talk about that a little bit, but that's my purpose is first and foremost the Lord. And then, I feel like he wants me to be the best husband and dad that I possibly can. And that involves also being the best employee of Lockton that I possibly can so that I can continue to have a paycheck that provides my family. So
that is not small, you know, that is a thing that motivates me as well. I want to find work that I enjoy and I get to do work that I enjoy and I'm thankful for that. But let's be honest, I often say to people in the companies I work with, you know, look, if we didn't need a job, we'd be propped up on a beach or on a mountaintop somewhere. We have to work because we have bills and responsibilities that we've chosen but let's make it fun. Let's make it mission oriented. Let's make it be bigger than ourselves, and leave whatever we're working on better than we found it. And so I love that aspect and that sort of outlook that you have about, like, hey, I got to work. And part of being the best family guy is providing and being a provider. Yeah. And I think that really stresses people out. I know it has really stressed me out at times where I'm working as hard as I can and the money's just not matching up with the expenditures for whatever reason. And that can be really stressful. So I'm curious, do you have rituals and routines and habits that you do on a daily or weekly basis that kind of help keep you from getting stressed out or keep you being your best self as you're trying to serve both Lockton and your family and the other areas of your community that you serve?
Yeah. It's a good question. And I can't say that I have the silver bullet to no stress. That's for sure. But, and if anybody says that they do, I would kind of question.
Oh, absolutely. But, absolutely. It's impossible. It's baked into our nature and our society, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. But for me, I mean, I think staying connected to the unconditional love that is in the Lord is very important. So on a daily basis, I started a planner a long time ago called the Faithful Rhythms Planner. I don't own it anymore. There's a guy in Denver that took it over, and but it was called the Faithful Rhythms Planner. And that planner I still use. And it's a place for me to pray, learn, and be intentional every single day. And I feel like if I'm doing those three things, if I'm, first of all, praying, and then I'm learning and I'm intentional with, you know, the events and the people that are in my life, I think you can call that faithfulness probably at the end of it. I think we try to complicate that a lot. And so I have a planner that kind of helps guide me through that. But I think overall, just that simple mentality helps. I mean, that intentional piece of it isn't just a personal thing. It's a work thing.
Yeah.
And so I try to be very intentional with the people, that I work with. And I think also a thing that we talked about too, you know, in terms of, hey, we've got to work, so let's enjoy what we do. Let's do it well. But you also want to do it with people that, you know, you enjoy being with. Right. And so I'm so fortunate to work with some pretty amazing people at Lockton. And that's another thing that wakes me up in the morning is the people I get to work with, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The people around you make all the difference in the world. So you have to choose wisely. You know, although I will say what you just said reminded me of the time I asked my pastor. I was trying to decide between two job opportunities, and I was young, and I asked him, well, what do you think the Lord wants me to do? And he said, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here, but I don't think he cares. And I said, what do you mean? Yeah. And he said, all that is called of you is to do your best and to, you know, be a light to the people around you. And you can do that anywhere you go. And I was like, that moment freed me in so many ways throughout my career thinking about that. And so I think that resonated with me when you said that. Now, when we were talking before, you said one of the things that you have learned to do is say no. And that's a big thing in your pursuit of intentionality. And so I'd love to dive into that. What do you mean by say no, and how do you decide what to say no to?
Yeah, it's probably going to be best for me to kind of tell a story around it. So in 2019, which was the year before everything changed, right? But 2019, I've got an 8-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old daughter. And so we start to see life is starting to get pretty busy. Like personal life is starting to get busy. Kids are starting to get involved in things. But I had ailing parents that lived about an hour away from us. And we went and visited them one time, and we just realized that they need a lot more visits.
Yeah.
You know, that the once a month or once every two, I think it had been 2 months since we had seen them. Mm. And they were grateful for the visit, but I just realized that like this, we're now in a time where they need us. And so, and as busy as we're getting, that's not going to be possible.
Yeah.
And so we ended up taking our kids out of sports.
Okay.
And we ended up freeing up our weekends so that every Sunday we would go to church on Sunday morning, and then we'd go visit my parents for the rest of that day. And we did that not knowing when that was going to end. But we just knew that every single weekend I needed to see my parents.
Yeah.
And so that was about an hour drive. Next thing you know, like the fruit that came out of that was a family that was just so connected. Us and the girls were so connected. The joy that came out of seeing my parents every weekend was amazing. And how it just how refreshing it was. And then COVID comes around and it's even more complicated to go see them, but we kept on doing it. And then all of a sudden my mom said, we want to move closer to you. So they moved closer to us, and we're just seeing all this amazing fruit that came out of basically saying no, not saying my kids are like super athletic right now because both Jess and myself were athletes in college. And so they're athletic. They didn't lose that athletic ability because we took them out of rec soccer.
Right.
But it really kind of positioned us as a family to kind of first things first on a lot of different levels. And now we continue to say no to a lot of things from me and my, when I really think about it, you know, I'm in a position where it's very easy to get involved in everything under the sun because there's business opportunities all over the place. But we decided to really serve two organizations and go deep on those two organizations, give to them, all that kind of stuff, serve with them. One is the Children's Advocacy Center and one is Young Life. And so we kind of say no to everything else that comes across.
Yeah.
Like, man, it's awesome what y'all are doing in the community, but I've got to say no.
Yeah.
And then I would say now no really happens a lot with social life, I would say. But I get a lot of my social life out of my time with my family, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, those parents that we were serving for that period of time, we've lost them both. But I can tell you that, like, I'm pretty full even in their loss, knowing just the time that we had with them prior to their loss.
Yeah.
You know? And so, so all that I think allows me to wake up on a Monday morning with a lot of energy, knowing that I just didn't kind of, you know, I was really able to really focus on some of the most important things over that weekend, et cetera.
Yeah. So, I'm curious about pushback you get from society or others when you say no, because I think saying yes, especially as parents, is often the norm and the expectation. And so saying no is very countercultural. Did you get pushback? And if you did, how did you handle that?
Yeah, I think you get pushback just from, you know, some maybe like, I'm for lack of a better term, I'm going to say a shallow relationship.
Yeah.
But that's not anything negative. It just was a relationship that wasn't very deep that maybe kind of left.
Yeah.
Right. Because we didn't go to that function with them, or we didn't go to that dinner with them, or whatever. The deep relationships have stayed.
Yeah.
Right. The deeper relationships we still have. I mean, ride or die kind of relationships. Right. And so I think you just, we never got a physical like pushback because we never did it in a mean way. We never had somebody literally share that they were angry with us or anything, but you just start to see a pushback a little bit from society in a sense that, hey, we don't get asked to go out to dinner that much anymore by those people or whatever. And it's fine because in all honesty, what we wanted to gain from it was to have more meaningful time as a family. And so we've got a lot of Tuesday and Thursday nights hanging out as a family, you know, and, you know, there's just a lot of families that don't get that anymore that I see. And, but I would say, Josh, that we've, the no is not saying no to things that are silly. Like we say no to a lot of really good things that would be very easy to say yes to.
Yeah.
You know, but we say no to them just knowing that we have a capacity as humans and I'm not going to give up that capacity that's going to end up hurting the most important things in my life, which is, you know,
right.
My family.
Which comes back to prioritization and intentionality, just like you were talking about.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a quote my dad told me many times. That's attributed to Zig Ziglar, but it's, you have to say no to the good things so you have room to say yes to the great things. And, I remember that quote often,
because I'm
very guilty of overbooking, or overcommitting myself. I'm a people pleaser by nature and I want to say yes because I truly want to be helpful and I truly want to be involved and I want to be valuable, but you're right. The value that I bring to my family is needs to be the most important thing because they're the ones that are here forever. And others are here for a long time too, but it doesn't mean that I personally have to say yes to everything. And that's something I continue to work on. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. And I think especially when you're a person of influence, and I would assume you are, and I would assume a lot of the people listening to this are people that have influence. You just get asked to a lot of stuff and you get asked to be involved in a lot of stuff. And so, and it even kind of comes down to even in work life that there's some meetings that I have to say no to that I know that meeting isn't really going to kind of fulfill the purpose that I have for Locked In. And so I've only got so much time that I can fulfill that purpose. And so I can't spread myself too thin there. Like just saying no and being comfortable with saying no, it doesn't just help with the family component, but it helps with the work component. So that when you are doing the thing that you're purposed to do, you're doing it at your best capacity possible.
That's so important. That's so important. And, you know, technologically, we have a lot of advancements that help us say no. I was thinking about there are meetings that I say no to, but I actually, if I need the information, I'll send my AI note taker. And you know, I will get the output because really, I just need the information. I would have been observing a call and absorbing that information. That's kind of my, do I go, do I not? If I need the information and can get it from a digest or a summary of some sort, I don't go. And so I use AI actually to record the meeting, transcribe, take notes, tell me the action items, that kind of thing. And I've actually, I would not do meetings without anymore. I really wouldn't. And what's funny, I know I'm rabbit holing a little bit and my career is in AI now. So, you know, I'm a little bit nerdy about it, but I don't believe it's taking people's jobs. I think it helps us be better at our jobs because I'll be having a Zoom conversation and know my note taker is there. So I'm not feverishly taking notes. I'm participating in the conversation and really digging deeper with whomever is on the other end than I could if I was trying to split my time taking great notes about next steps and things like that. Part of that's just me being ADHD too. So I need to focus on one thing and let something else or someone else focus on the other.
That's another thing we have in common, man. I'm ADHD too.
A lot of great leaders and people and my guests that like to discuss this are, because I think we're very in tune with the fact that we're pulled all over the place. And we are also have been working long enough to understand that systems and strategies can work to really overcome some of the natural deficits that something like ADHD causes. And so it's made this podcast so fun because I am learning from others somewhat like me, and I get little tidbits all the time. And so, also you mentioned Young Life, just a side note, I was a Young Life leader for 8 years, I think, in Nashville and in Starkville, Mississippi, where Mississippi State is. Love that organization so much. Shout out to Young Life. The work you did in my life growing up. Thank you. But back to the podcast. So we've got this intentionality, but none of us is perfect, right? So do you have things, safeguards, people, accountabilities in practice, that if you see, they might see or catch that you're getting a little bit off balance, you're saying yes to too many things, you're working too much, you're pouring into this or that too much, what safeguards do you have? I know for myself personally, others, my wife in specifically, will know that I've said yes to too much far before I realize it. What about for you? What helps you monitor yourself outside of yourself?
Yeah. My wife for sure. We communicate constantly, and usually if I'm going to do something outside of my work responsibilities, she's going to be with me, you know, we kind of do most things together. I think, you know, inside of work, I have a mentor, within Lockton, you know, even a role, everybody in Lockton has a mentor, and these are the kind of conversations that we're having for sure. And I think it's a totally different conversation, right? The conversation I'm having with my wife is, it's more around, hey, are we serving our family the way that we're called to? Conversations I'm having with my mentor at work is everything I'm doing either growing or retaining my business? Right. Inside Lockton, and if it's not growing or retaining my business, then it's probably not something that I need to be doing. And so, and then, you know, we have some coaching that we have within Lockton too that helps us with that. And so, yeah, I would say it's just more so having transparent relationships with people who are stakeholders in those two areas of your life, which is professional and personal.
I mean, that's what this is all about, is exploring that and how you blend those. So if you find out you're off balance or you're, you know, overcommitted, or what's your go-to to get yourself back on track? Like, how do you pull back and reset?
So every year I do I don't do this on the personal side, but on the professional side, I do a business plan for myself every year. And so it starts at the beginning of our fiscal year, which is May. And so usually February, March, April, I'm working on a business plan for the next fiscal year. And I mean, the first thing you have to do is assess the previous year and how things are going, and then, you know, change things as you need to. And so I think having that touch point on a yearly basis is, I think if you were to do it more than that, then that would probably be too much. But I think every year kind of check in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say necessarily reinventing yourself, but kind of doing a gut check every year.
I think that's really, really important. I do little bitty gut checks most days, but it's just basically looking at where I was this day last year and where I am today, and are we going in the right direction? And I mean, I spend less than 5 minutes on it a day, but it's just kind of a quick check-in, and I find it to be really, really healthy and beneficial. So I'm curious, you have been doing what you do now for 20 years. You're in the business of serving people, So I'm sure you have a lot of great advice. What advice would you give to a younger generation, perhaps, or your younger self, on how to pursue balance and harmony as they pursue being a successful business person and a successful perhaps family person or a person in the community or whatever is on their heart? That's a lot. What advice would you give to a person who is struggling to make the most of all of it at one time?
Yeah. So one thing you mentioned, 20 years, I'm more so been in this role-ish position for about 10 years. But so I would say first and foremost to have mentors in your life. Mm. And I would say it's really hard to have one mentor that kind of covers both personally and professional. Yeah. So I would encourage people to have influences on their life that are both personal and professional. And I would be, if I were to tell my young self, I didn't do this, but I would say you got to be intentional with those people, right? Because if you're talking to the right person and you've got the right mentor, he's also managing his own balance. Yeah. And so, right. And so I think, if you were young, like if somebody was to come to me, say somebody in their 20s and says, Matt, you know, I'd like for you to be a mentor. I'm going to want to make sure that that person's taking it seriously. Yeah. And it's not a check off the box, because I'm going to put myself out there for this person. Right. And so I would tell a young person, don't just check off the box, have a mentor, but have a mentor that you take very seriously, because you need to steward that person's time just as much as you're stewarding your time. And then I would also say, obviously, a young person has more capacity than an older person.
That's true.
So feel free, as you're young to explore, right? To, you know, you've got the capacity to do a lot more than the average adult can. And so explore, find those things that you truly love, and then start weeding it down when life starts to get crazy, which is usually parenthood.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? Hopefully you've got a mentor in your life at that point that is really going to help you do that.
Yeah, that's great advice. I've had mentors in and out of my life. I don't have a long-standing one. It's interesting. The guests on the show are not mentors necessarily, but I learn a lot every week by talking to people like you. So thank you for that. So I'm curious, looking towards the future, wondering what you're excited about, what you're looking forward to, what the next step on your growth journey is. I know that you have recently started a podcast, right? Called The Excellence Culture, which is, I watched the preview of it and it looks really exciting.
Yeah. No, The Excellence Culture is great. I mean, I think it's going to evolve. It started by me just kind of interviewing people that are in my network that are pretty awesome people, and just kind of hearing their stories and what makes them tick. I would say that I just went through a big accident where I fell through the ceiling in my house, and I was in the ICU for five days with like 12 different broken bones and all this crazy stuff. And it really does kind of make you think a little bit. And ever since then, for some reason, I haven't gotten too excited to keep that main premise of just sitting across the table from somebody who's awesome and talking about how they're awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I don't know why something happened during the ICU just challenged me with that, to where I wanted to have some deeper conversations. So the excellence culture isn't going to change, but the content might be a little bit more about overcoming things.
I love
that. There's some people that have some pretty amazing stories of how they overcame maybe disease, or they overcame a loss, or they overcame trauma. Mm-hmm. and they still were able to overcome it in the way, in the work, in a work type setting, were still able to somehow, you know, keep their job and actually do it well.
I can actually think of some guests on this show that would be good for that as well. So we can talk offline, but that's really exciting. Yeah. That's really exciting. Yeah. I told our mutual friends at Market Scale that I was not going to do this podcast unless I could figure out a way that I felt was adding value to anybody who listened, whether it's one or 100 or 1 million people. And it's not 1 million people. You know, it didn't matter if I was going to take my time and somebody else's time, I wanted it to be putting value back into the world. And so I like where you're thinking with the excellence culture. Yeah. Is there anything else in your growth journey that's coming up that you're excited about?
Yeah. You know, work-wise, I'm in the employee benefits world. And so AI is becoming a big part of that world for sure. What we can do with AI, I'm not going to get into the weeds on that, but that gets me really excited. And then just continuing to solve problems.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk politics, but election cycles are always interesting for health insurance and what's going to happen in the healthcare world. Really shapes what we do. And so that's an exciting thing to know that there's going to be something to solve for that's going to be different.
Yeah.
And we don't
absolutely
know
what it'll be, but... as this show goes, by the way, just for our listeners, we're recording pre-election, but it will come out, I believe, the second week of January, which is post inauguration. Yeah. So you know, we will we'll see what Matt is working on about the time this episode comes out.
Yeah.
Cool. So awesome. Anyway, thank you so much for being on today, sharing your time, sharing your story, and being willing to just be a light. That's my mission with this whole thing. And you're adding light to someone somewhere. And I appreciate your willingness to do it.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate
it.
Thanks for all
Absolutely. And that's a wrap, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to my friends at Market Scale for continuing to support this podcast into season two. We are so thankful for them. And we just look forward to all of our guests coming up on this season. And please come back, share it with your friends. And until we see you next time, go out there and pursue growth well.